What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives.
Woo! Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is Thanksgiving. Well, it was.
Yesterday? Yes, yesterday.
Yes. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday to those who
are shopping today.
We can
accompany you on your shopping.
I was going to say, maybe you're listening in the car on the way to your Black Friday shopping. I hope you get all you could ever ask for. Get all the deals.
All you ever wanted.
Yeah, aside from that, I think I'm just going to jump right into it. I've got a really exciting one for us this week.
Get jumping.
I'm very excited. Today's topic is one that Nick and I were bound to get to at some point between the two of us. It was just a matter of, like, who's going to do it and when we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that I called dibs, and today I'm covering the Eastern State Penitentiary.
Woo!
Which is a place that we've both been.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. He's been there. I feel like that's...
Have you been there for the haunted?
I haven't done, like, the history tour. I've done, like, the haunted walkthrough.
That's what I meant,
yeah. Yeah, I've never done a history tour, which I really want to do. Like, I feel like that would
be good.
Super fun.
I've done that one. I've done them both.
Who voices the...
Steve Buscemi.
I was going to say, you said it
yeah.
the last...
It is... It's great. I mean, it's nice, because it's cool to see the statistics and everything they give you on that. But, what was it? Frankie and I went... It was like five to 7 years running.
Yeah.
Every year we would do Eastern State for the haunted walkthrough. And it was great.
I know. I loved it.
It was so good. And, I mean, they didn't rank it number one in the first, like, rank it number one.
Right.
Like, in America for, like, no reason.
Yeah, seriously.
It was good.
It was.
I don't know. I can't count how many times I was taken. I've gotten taken to the point where, like, I did a walkthrough. So, when you do the walkthrough, it's kind of like four to six,
yeah,
maybe eight,
like
different walkthroughs.
Yeah.
But back when I was like walking through and everything, you never really got a break. You'd go through one walkthrough and then maybe
right
a minute or two while you're waiting for other people to clear the door, you're right into the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So you really never got to let your like anxiety and fear or any of that stuff come down because
yeah.
you were just right on. And the fact that they could take you or whatever.
I was never that brave. I was always the person, like, I had a glow stick around my neck. It was like, if you wore a glow stick, they couldn't take you from your group. And I think
if you got the blood X, you could take it.
Yeah.
And I would get taken all the time. Because you know what they would do? They would target all the groups that have, like, guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take the guys
from
and leave
the girls.
The girls.
Yeah, leave them themselves, yeah.
I've gotten taken. I had to crawl through a tunnel. And, like, I popped out right next to an actor. And they literally looked at me and were like, shh. And I was like, oh, okay. And I stood there. And then he scared the group I was with and then let me go out.
He's like, just give me a minute here. I got to do
my job. I've gone down a slide.
There you go.
The last time I went and it was like that, for the one walkthrough, we got to the end. And the girl was like, you this way, and pointed me down some hallway. So I went into, like, some... like, behind-the-scenes hallway.
Yeah.
And I walked all the way down, and I was like, I don't know where this is taking me. And I literally went back to the beginning of that walkthrough.
And had to go all the way through again.
So I had to go through all the way through by myself. And I got to the end again, and she was like, you, that way. And I was like, you just pointed me that way.
Right? Like, I'm not doing this
three
again,
times.
Maybe.
She did it to me three times. I had to walk that walkthrough. It was crazy. But now it's kind of... this last time when we went, it's like beer garden-y setup.
Yeah.
You can choose which walkthroughs you want to go through, and
I feel like it's a less scary.
Yeah, it doesn't have that same intensity of scary as it did before.
Right.
I don't want to say fell into like the hipster way, but
they kind of did.
That's kind of what it is.
They
like,
kind of did.
We went through a circus themed one.
Yeah.
And outside, once we finished that walkthrough, there was like a circus theme little bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, like, a main bar area, which was, like, the Vampire's Cult or something like that. They called it in, like, the center area where you can go and, like...
It seems very, like, gimmicky to me now. Like, when before, like, it was, like, very... It was very scary.
The line was around the outside of the prison. You had to get there on your time thing. Yeah. They were scaring you outside of the thing.
Dude, you would get a shuttle bus. That was, like, my favorite part, where you would park your car and it would pick you up, the shuttle bus. And sometimes the shuttle bus would have, like, actual, like... actors on it, and you're not expecting it, and you're already getting scared, and you're not even there yet. It was so cool.
They used to have a ghillie suit person when you were signing the waivers out there.
And he'd run, the guy on the roller skates, too, used to have roller skates on his knees. He'd come up and, like, scare the crap out of you. Yeah. Literally, so many memories I could tell you about.
But they were all actors.
Yeah.
The thing you're going to be talking about
I'm going to be talking about the history and the stuff.
The actual...
All the things.
The people who remain.
Yeah. So if you're unfamiliar with the penitentiary... If you're unfamiliar with the penitentiary, it's located at 2027 Fairmount Ave in Philadelphia.
And what?
Yeah.
My softball league. We play 2 blocks from there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. And in 1787, a man named Dr. Benjamin Rush founded the Philadelphia Society for Alleviating the Miseries of Public Prisons. This was the first prison reform group in the world. Benjamin Franklin joined the group on August 13th, 1787.
You know, I just saw a statistic about Ben Franklin that he left Philadelphia and Boston like $200 to $2,000 when he left. And they weren't allowed to touch it for 200 years or something like that. Some weird math like that. Yeah. And anyway, when the cities could cash it out, it was $6.9 million.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Benny Frank. Yeah. What a guy.
Arguing with the people from the Jersey Devil.
Literally. I feel like we do talk about him a decent amount.
Maybe somebody should just look into him. He might be, like, the...
he's
the person, like...
Common denominator.
Yeah.
This group survives today, more than 2 centuries later. It's now called the Pennsylvania Prison Society. It promotes correctional reform and social justice. In 1970, a penitentiary house with a capacity of 16 single cells is built in the Walnut Street Jail, and an experiment with day and night solitary confinement begins. In 1821, after many years of lobbying from the Philadelphia Society for Alleviating the Miseries of Public Prisons, the Pennsylvania legislature approves funding to build the Eastern State Penitentiary. The new prison will hold 250 people. The penitentiary used a radical floor plan that was a departure from traditional prison design. Each cell had a skylight, a form of plumbing, central heat, and a separate exercise yard. While being moved from their cells into a different area, prisoners were hooded to prevent them from seeing other inmates. Cells were equipped with feed doors and individual exercise yards to prevent contact between prisoners. It was legit. Like, I feel like that is putting it lightly. It was very legit. Like, you could not speak to other, like, your other inmates. They were serious about it.
Yeah, it was kind of like Alcatraz in that aspect. It was definitely supposed to be a prison for, like, hard asses. Mm-hmm. Like, you were going to get... reformed in here, and this is how it's going to go.
Yeah. Legislation specifying separate or solitary confinement at labor is passed in April of 1829. Many leaders believe that crime is the result of environment, and that solitude will make the person convicted of a crime regretful and penitent, hence the new word penitentiary. This correctional theory, as practiced in Philadelphia, became known as the Pennsylvania system. Plans are finalized to prohibit all contact between people incarcerated at Eastern State, the world's most ambitious penitentiary, now nearly ready to receive its first prisoners. October 25th, 1829, Eastern State Penitentiary opens and receives its first prisoner. Charles Williams, prisoner number one. He was a burglar, sentenced to 2 years confinement with labor, received by Samuel R. Wood, the first warden at Eastern State Penitentiary. Can you imagine, like, all right, that's me. I'm number one. I'm the first person to ever be here. Right? Originally consisting of 3 single-story cell blocks, the prison within 2 years started to add 2-story cell blocks to accommodate the growing number of prisoners. When completed in 1836, it was considered an architectural wonder and attracted numerous visitors, one being Charles Dickens.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Random. By the 1870s, the rising numbers of inmates resulted in new cell blocks being built between existing cell blocks. So, like, they're literally playing Jenga with these cell blocks. They're like, all right,
yeah,
we'll just fit one here, we'll and fit one there.
So when you think, I'm going to do my best to try and give you an image, like, picture it in your head.
Yeah.
So it's four walls. They're pretty much brick walls. They're cinder block walls all the way up. I don't know how many feet high, but they're tall. And then there's, like, one central building in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and then all these cell blocks extend off of that
like
central
branches,
hub.
Yeah. Like,
so one guard standing in the center of all the cell blocks, you can see every single one.
Down every single... It's mm-hmm. very... It's so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, especially, like, to stand there, and you can literally, like, if you're standing in the middle and you look around and you yeah. can see, it's insane.
At one point in the Haunted Walkthroughs, you hit that point,
mm-hmm.
and you can see, like, you're there, and you can tell all the doors.
Yeah.
You can see them all.
It's crazy.
Now, they changed it. Like, it does get a little different because, like you were just saying, they add on to it.
Yeah.
It goes from, I think, one story. I think their highest is three mm-hmm. stories. And a bunch of them are two stories.
Right.
And they're not very big.
Yeah. And the new cells, they lacked exercise yards and skylights as well. So, like, they're literally just putting them, like, wherever they can fit. As well as the arched ceilings that the original cells had. Like, these new ones, they're not getting any of those little mm-hmm. amenities there. And the system of solitary confinement became increasingly unworkable and started to break down. Figures. Because of the impracticality of mass solitary confinement, the system was officially abandoned in 1913, after which Eastern State Penitentiary operated as a congregate prison. Group dining halls were introduced in 1924. By 1926, the penitentiary, originally designed for 250 inmates, housed 1,700 prisoners.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like we said, they had to just keep building on.
It was originated for 250 inmates total.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up to 1,700.
Yep.
Math ain't mathin' here.
No. Well, and it gets definitely crazy in there.
Yeah. Well, prison riots occurred in 1933 and 1934, and then again in 1961. It was finally closed for good in 1971. After its closure, the penitentiary was abandoned and fell into ruin until it was bought in 1980 by the city of Philadelphia from the state of Pennsylvania with the intention of commercial redevelopment. In 1968, however, a task force was formed to restore and preserve the building because of its historical significance. They were like, come on, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
It was built, you know.
It's number one.
Right.
Like, one of one.
Seriously. The penitentiary was opened in 1994 for daily historic tours and hosts a number of fundraising, educational, and art events, and it also is frequently used as a film location. Which was so smart. Why would, mm-hmm. like, what? Why would you get rid of, like,
yeah, I bet you the city makes more money off of the way it is now
right.
than if they would have made it into a commercial building.
Seriously. So now, let's get into some of the most famous prisoners that the penitentiary has hosted. I'll start with the most famous that I'm sure everybody knows about, Mr. Capone, Mr. Scarface himself, Chicago's most famous mob boss. He spent 8 months at Eastern State from 1929 to 1930. He was arrested for carrying a concealed deadly weapon. This was his first prison sentence, and his time in Eastern State was relatively, like, luxurious compared to what he was going to experience after mm-hmm. this. He had furniture, oriental rugs, a cabinet radio. Like, he was living large in Eastern
and
State.
And you can still see it. They have his
yes,
cell
it's so
set up.
Sick.
I don't think it's, like, the original stuff that's there, but they have it. It's, like, a replica. It's the cell he was in.
Literally.
It's just all set up as, like, a replica.
It's nicer than some New York apartments.
Yeah.
It's literally insane.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a speakeasy now.
Yeah.
So I think you needed to pay extra to
smart.
Get the password to go in there.
It's a smart
and you
money
have a
grab.
Cocktail in there in that area. Yep.
Yeah, but that's, like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the stuff that he went on to experience in Alcatraz,
yeah.
quite the disconnect there.
Yep.
Another one was Victor Babe Androlli. Victor was convicted of killing a Pennsylvania state trooper in 1937. He arrived at Eastern State Penitentiary to serve a life sentence for first-degree murder. He escaped in 1943, apparently by hiding in a delivery truck that was leaving the prison. Several weeks later, the police caught up to him in Chester, Pennsylvania, in a diner, where he was then shot dead.
Yeah.
Which is just so crazy to me. Like, sir, you escaped. Like, you got out. Why did you stick around? I would have been literally halfway to anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere.
Right. Chester is not far enough for my liking. No. You're still, that's no, like, what, 20 minutes max?
I'd say 20, yeah.
Like, 30?
20 on an a good day.
Right, and like, sir.
Without traffic and stuff.
You killed a state trooper, my love. Like, they're not just going to give up on you. Like, they're looking for you. Yep. Like, you clearly did not think that one through. Another one was Morris, the Rabbi Bulber. When Morris, the Rabbi, entered Eastern State in 1942, he was serving a life sentence as a member of an arsenic murder ring located in Philadelphia, called a veteran witch doctor and compounder of charms. Bulber was one of the leaders of the group. They appealed to women who were willing to murder husbands.
Huh.
Arsenic was not the only method used.
Huh.
In order to collect on their husbands' insurance policies. Between 1932 and 1937, the group was responsible for the deaths of at least 30 people.
Wow.
16 people were convicted for participating in the crimes, including Bulber and Horace Perlman, who also served time at Eastern State for the murders. After his incarceration, he joined the Jewish congregation in the new Eastern State Penitentiary Synagogue. One of the penitentiary's most dedicated volunteers, Joseph Paul, also took an interest in him. Mr. Paul's concern deeply moved Bulber. Less than 2 weeks before his death at Eastern State in 1954, Bulber wrote of the volunteer, "As for me, I remember his numerous, never-to-be-forgotten acts of kindness that were shown to me. Therefore, I will pray for him, a prayer he surely deserves for all the good he's done for me." And then we move on to Miss Frieda Frost. Female prisoners were part of the landscape at Eastern State for almost 100 years, and Frieda Frost was the last of them.
Hmm.
When transferred to the Muncie Industrial Home for Women in 1923, Frost's departure marked the end of an era. Frost had been serving a 20-year sentence for murder at Eastern State. She had poisoned her husband.
Okay. That's, okay. That's on target.
Yeah. William Francis Sutton was one of the most famous bank robbers in American history. He had the nickname Slick Willie. He spent 11 years at Eastern State. In 1945, Sutton, along with 11 other prisoners, escaped from Eastern State in a prisoner-dug tunnel that went almost 100 feet underground.
Wow, that's deep.
So, like, dedicated.
Yeah.
Sutton was recaptured just minutes later, unfortunately.
You know?
They
like popped up right on the other side of the wall.
Literally right on the other side. Like, they did not think that through further. They didn't dig further.
They didn't go out far enough. Yeah. They went down deep enough. They didn't go over far enough.
Yeah, they literally popped up and it was just like, huh, gotcha. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Over the course of his criminal career, Sutton is credited with over 50 bank robberies, 3 successful escapes from prison, and over 30 years served behind bars. Leo Callahan, of the approximately 100 people to escape from Eastern State, Leo Callahan is the only one that ever got away with it.
Hmm.
Assault and battery with intent to kill brought Callahan to Eastern State Penitentiary, and a makeshift wooden ladder brought him out. In 1923, Callahan and 5 other prisoners built a ladder that they used to scale the east wall of the penitentiary. This wasn't just, like, a normal wall, either. Like, when I look at Eastern State, sometimes I think, I'm like, wow, it kind of looks like a castle. Like, it looks like a, like, it would have, like, a moat around it. Like, the walls are high. Yes. Like, they were scaling.
And on all 4 corners, I'm pretty sure they're guard towers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's all 4.
I'm almost positive you were also correct. Which is, so, like, when I say they're scaling this wall. Yeah, it's not as easy as I make it sound.
Yeah.
His 5 accomplices were all eventually recaptured, but Callahan is still missing to this day. Although, if he was alive right now, he'd be 110. So, I doubt that he's still kicking, but he did get away with it. And for years, researchers and educators believed that he was the one person that managed to escape Eastern Penitentiary and avoid recapture indefinitely. But with centuries of stories to uncover, we're always making new discoveries. Now, it is believed that at least 5 people escaped Eastern State and remained permanently at large. Bernard Teese was 2 years into a 3-year sentence for horse stealing when he escaped on August 27th, 1838. Bernard succeeded in opening his cell door and made his escape over the penitentiary's perimeter wall. In January 1839, the warden noted that I've taken much trouble and spent more than $100 in endeavoring, which $100 back then was more than $100 mm-hmm. now,
yeah.
in endeavoring to trace and take him, but without the least success. His records list his method of discharge as escaped. In addition, documents like his father's will, written in 1943, suggested his family members never saw him again. So he may have escaped, but his family didn't know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm being honest, that's kind of the way you gotta do it if you're escaping prison. Like, the first place they're gonna look is at, like, mm-hmm. your family and, like, the people that you would surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Patrick Lafferty managed to walk right through the front gate. He just walked right out. Said, "All right, I'm out of here."
Sometimes it's the easiest thing to do.
See ya.
Just adios.
7 years into a 12-year sentence for second-degree murder at Eastern State Penitentiary, he escaped on November 6th, 1866.
I know that day.
The warden wrote that Patrick had dressed himself in a suit of clothes belonging to a prisoner, going out on expiration of sentence and was permitted by said Officer Keynes to pass out. The warden dispatched officers to search for Lafferty throughout the city and adjacent districts without success. After serving only 1 week of a 4-year and 11-month sentence for robbery, James Stewart was ordered back to court to receive an additional sentence. Mm. After stepping off the trolley car, Stewart broke away from the warden and an overseer accompanying him. Newspapers record that he had not been handcuffed and easily outdistanced the officials. The Philadelphia Record reported in May 1993 that he stowed away on a ship bound for England and was never to be seen again. Timothy Boyle worked in the bakery. This one I like. Timothy Boyle worked in the bakery and used that to his advantage when he escaped on December 31st, 1877, with the help of two other bakery workers. He concealed himself in an empty cask that was on a wagon leaving the prison. He was nearly 2 years into a 12-year sentence for second-degree murder. The driver of the wagon returned to the prison and told staff that upon reaching his destination, he found the rear cask empty and laying open in the wagon. The Philadelphia Inquirer was among the national media outlets that covered the escape, and Boyle's story continued to make headlines for years to come. 2 years after the event, the Harrisburg Daily Independent claimed he made his escape to Europe.
Hmm. It's like the classic, like, hold on to the bottom of the car.
Uh-huh. Literally, I'm gonna do what I can.
Yeah.
We'll probably never know what happened to those five people that apparently managed to get out of Eastern State Penitentiary and stay out, but power to you.
Yeah.
You did what 100 other people couldn't do.
Oh, yeah, you figure you get to Europe and you're a different person.
Seriously.
You just start over.
Shit, I'm changing my name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dyeing my hair.
Although I don't think it was that advanced. Where, like...
Yeah.
I mean, they may have gotten word.
Right.
But I don't know if it was that advanced. Where, like, now, they send a photo and it takes 2 seconds. Send it over to Europe.
Yeah, you're
this person escaped us.
Right. Now, with all of its looming, gloomy, high stone walls, crumbling corridors, and stark cells that once housed thousands of hardcore criminals, Eastern State certainly looks haunted. It's got a look.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's also got a feel.
It's got a very ominous look.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're correct. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's cold. Like, it just gives, like, old, because it is. Like, it's just a very... You know? Like, you just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 142-year-old history is full of suicide, madness, disease, murder, and torture, making it easy to imagine spirits of troubled souls left behind to roam its abandoned halls.
I just totally remembered an experience from the walkthrough.
Go ahead.
We were in, like, you know how they do, like, the blacklight?
Yes.
Blacklight rooms? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, all the walls are black, and there's, like, colored dots that are like neon, so it's like shining all weird and it kind of disorients you. Well, we were turning this corner and they had like squares that were kind of like cut out of the walls
mm-hmm.
or something, and people would like, you know, reach out and like with like all black hands
grab
and like kind of like grab you or just like, you know, brush their hand down you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a group in front of us who was like, you know, they were paused because they were like scared.
Yeah.
And my back went up against the one wall in the corner. And I was sitting there, and I don't remember who it was to my left, but I know there was another wall to my right, and I was looking at the group in front of us. And all of a sudden, on my right shoulder, I just felt a hand. And I was like, oh, it's going to be like one of the actors and something like that. Like, I'm in the perfect spot where they can just put their hand on me. And I turned around, and the wall was solid.
Get out.
Behind me. Like, no trapdoor.
Right. Like, it's a solid black wall.
Like, I pushed on the wall. There was no trapdoor. No nothing.
Like, no.
Wild.
No.
I forgot about that. I remember the rest of the walkthrough, I was just blown away. I was like, yeah, I just got touched by a ghost.
I remember the last time that I went, when it was still, like, the haunted walkthrough, I went with, like, a bunch of my friends, and we walk out of it. Like, the whole thing is over. Like, it's done. And, so, like, one of my friends walked up to me and were like, are you okay? Because I, like, literally hadn't said anything. I was like, yeah, I'm good, I think. I had the weirdest feeling, like, towards the end of it, like, in this, like, one specific part. Mm-hmm. I was like, just got, like, a weird, like, just dread, like,
yeah.
And, like, you can feel it. It's just so odd.
When we got, you remember how they always used to put you in, like, corrals before you would get released the one time? They had, like, a barrel theme where, like, we were in, like, a machine shop, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was, like, freaking out and banging on a barrel as we were getting ready to walk in, and Frankie's sister is walking up, and he just takes his 55-gallon drum and just launches it. I mean, this thing goes flying through the air and just slams against the bars right as she's walking up to them.
Mm.
And, oh, man, it scared the crap out of her.
Yeah.
I thought it was going through the bars.
Right.
Because, like, where we were set up, I don't think they were actual, like, bars from the prison. I think they were just set up there to kind of organize everybody so they could release you.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it was, I mean, a 55-gallon drum is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And the fact that this dude just launched it, just even when they're empty.
Yeah.
I mean, like, 6-7 feet across the room.
Mm-mm.
It was crazy. Anyway.
So, some of the harsh punishments that were used on prisoners are enough to make you shiver without even having to talk or see the ghosts. There was the water bath, in which inmates were dunked, then hung out on a wall in winter until ice literally formed on their skin.
Oh.
Barbaric. Like, literally barbaric. Like,
that could go into our next torture episode.
Literally. There's the mad chair, which bound an inmate so tightly that circulation was cut off, later sometimes resulting in, like, amputations.
Oh.
Yeah. The iron gag, in which an inmate's hands were tied behind their back and strapped to an iron collar in the mouth so that any movement caused, like, the tongue to tear and just bleed ridiculously. Yeah.
It's almost like the pair of anguish.
Uh-huh. Almost. And then the hole, which was a dank underground cell where unfortunate inmates had no light, no human contact, no exercise, not even a toilet, very little food, and very little air. Like, a hellhole. Like, yeah. I literally just cannot even imagine. Like, the prison is considered by several sources to be one of the most haunted places in America. It has been featured on the Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures and Most Haunted Live, Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, and MTV's Fear. Dozens of paranormal researchers visit every year and report that it's a hub of otherworldly activity. Perhaps most convincingly, there are the stories of eerie experiences by visitors, staff, guards, and inmates that have corroborated each other since the 1940s. Cell Block 12 is known for echoing voices and cackling. Cell Block 6 for shadowy figures darting along the walls. And Cell Block 4 is known for visions of ghostly faces. Like, the fact that, like, we've got it broken down into, like, here you'll experience this. Like, I hate it.
Yeah. The fact that you can narrow it down that is wild.
Many people have reported seeing a silhouette of a guard in one of the towers. Footsteps, wails, whispers, the same stories over and over again. Just countless amounts of people just hearing things that, like, and even just, like, on, like, the historical tours. Like,
oh, yeah,
we've been talking about, like, the haunted experience of that, and, like, I feel like with that, it's kind of harder to, like, figure out, like, what is part of it and, like, what isn't. With, like, the history and shit, you're just walking through. It's just a normal daytime tour. Like, you're just walking through it. There's no special effects or anything. Yeah. You've got the headphones on and you're listening.
Yep.
And that's when they're hearing, like, the whisper. Like, broad daylight.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nighttime or daylight there. If you... I think the big thing, again, is, like, obviously when you go for the haunted attraction, you're amped up to get scared. Yeah. But when you go for the daytime thing, again, if you try to have your energy match the energy of that place, you're going to experience something.
For sure.
That place is not active at all. Like, it's booming with activity.
One of the most legendary stories comes from Gary Johnson, who helped maintain the old locks at the prison. In the early 1990s, he had just opened an old lock in cell block 4 when he says a force gripped him so tightly that he was unable to move. He described a negative, horrible energy that exploded out of the cell. He said tormented faces appeared on the cell walls and that one form in particular beckoned to him. In one cell, drawn faces of those who spent time in the prison hang on the walls. Which is interesting, like, that, you said, you were like, it was like a solid wall, and you felt like a hand coming through it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He said, he was like, yeah, these are like solid walls, and I'm seeing faces and like figures coming through it. Yep. So, like, I don't doubt it.
Mm-hmm. It was wild. I was mind blown. I had chills the rest of the walkthrough.
Literally.
Didn't even, nothing else, like, other scary stuff didn't
affect me. Right, you're like, I'm not even thinking about it anymore.
I was just blown away. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. In Death Row, also known as Cell Block 15, they have a recording of orchestra music created by one of the inmates appealing his death row conviction. It is an oddly upbeat tune for one that was literally waiting to die, yet it's intended to showcase how some reform was in fact possible, if even too late. There's countless amounts of visitors that have reported seeing ghostly figures, hearing strange noises, and feeling unexplained cold spots. Some visitors have even claimed to have been touched or scratched by invisible entities. Literally too many for me to go over. Like, I feel like you get the idea. Like, you know what I'm talking about. I was literally just going to say, the other super cool thing that Eastern State does is terror behind the walls. as if we haven't been talking about it this entire time.
We've only been covering it this whole time.
This whole time. But it's literally, it's sick.
It is such a cool place. If you ever get the opportunity, daytime tour, if you come around Halloween... getting tickets to do Terror Behind the Walls.
Yeah.
Even the new setup. I'm not crazy about it. I don't think it's as scary.
But I think if you haven't done it, do
it. Do it. It's cool. It is such an experience. I wouldn't say the actors take it less serious because of how it's set up now.
Yeah, no, not that
They're
at
still going to scare you.
Yeah.
You will still get scared. I just don't think it amplifies like it used to.
Yeah, like, I feel like if you went to the, like... OG, like, back, like, a couple years ago, this is, like, it's just a little watered down, like, in comparison.
Yeah, it's still up there in fear. The actors do a amazing job.
And like I said, I feel like you just get the feeling being there. Like, honestly, like, the location, it literally looks like a castle. It looks like a scary, haunted, old castle.
And whether it is the Terror Behind the Walls or... you're in Philadelphia for the weekend or for a little bit of time and you get the opportunity to do the daytime tour. I don't think it's that expensive. I'm not sure how much it is. Obviously, Terror Behind the Walls will be a little more pricey, but it's still cool to see. To be able to go and stand there and realize that, like, wow, you stand on the star in the center of this thing and I can see every first floor cell block and some of the second floor cell blocks is just... wild. And then to see the conditions that they were like living in and stuff like that is so cool. And
tickets are literally $20
for the daytime.
I think they're like 18 or 20 like, that you cannot beat that.
And there's a little gift shop. You get to see, you know, the Al Capone cell. You can, there's all different like other buildings and stuff that's there that they have opened up that have different like stories of inmates or their daily life, like their, you know, life that they would do daily, and even some artifacts and stuff like that. So it is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the grounds are eerie and creepy. So yeah, if you ever get the opportunity, definitely do it.
It's definitely worth it.
If you enjoyed this episode, guys, please, we got to remember to do this in the beginning of the episode, but please like, subscribe, tell a friend, share, comment. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Email us if you have your own story. If you've experienced anything in Eastern State or have been to Eastern State, reach out and, you know, maybe when we get a couple stories or whatever together, we'll just have like a flashback to this episode and just cover some other crazy things that you guys have experienced.
An Eastern State story time, if you will.
Yeah. Also, go follow Sam. She gives us help with all of our episodes. She's does amazing work. Check out her personal work at ScareMeSam.com and her own podcast at ScareMeSam. You guys know by now all of our social medias. So, I think that's it.
I think that wraps.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us on this story and coverage of Eastern State Penitentiary. And until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.